Welcome on into the 8 o'clock hour. It's Chris Thomas tonight. Turtle with you until 10 o'clock. A busy, busy show talking about the Falcons, specifically about QB1. Do we have a problem, y'all? Do we have a problem? Because here's my situation, and here's my worry. And if you want to call in, got some time here to take your calls, 404-726-0929. Had a bunch of great calls to start the show. Y'all worried about the growth of Michael Penix Jr.? Because I am. These three games have been not good. He had some good throws in the Bucs game. Not taking that away from him. But overall, the performance of Michael Penix Jr. this season, not good. Only one passing touchdown on the season, and that was a 50-yard run by Bijan Robinson after a checkdown. So he essentially has no touchdown passes to wide. Not essentially. He does not have a touchdown pass to a wide receiver or a tight end. And we're three games into the season. Why do I bring this up? Well, it all started with a tweet from Dan Orlovsky. And I mentioned this at the top of the hour at 6 o'clock. And it's only grown exponentially from there. Dan Orlovsky tweeted out a clip of a breakdown he did on his show NFL Live on ESPN. And like I tweeted at C. Thomas Radio, you can go check out the tweet. Falcons fans, if you do one thing today, watch this video, I implore you. And Dan Orlovsky, as well as Swagoo, on there as well, Marcus Spears, did a four-minute breakdown of everything that's going wrong with the Falcons offense based around the pistol. And Dan Orlovsky's tweet read as the following: stop living in the pistol. And he explained why this living on the pistol situation is hurting the Falcons offense. It's essentially making it linear, predictable, and not allowing for Bijan Robinson to hit the creases, to hit the open spaces, and it's preventing Michael Penix Jr. from being able to launch it deep, which we essentially haven't seen this season at all. So that tweet has now since obliterated my previous mark for engagement as a tweet. Listen, it is what it is. It's just a tweet. But my point is that the passion and the fervor from all of y'all Falcons fans, I hear you and I see you and I feel your frustration. 80,000 of you have now watched this video on my account. 850 of you have liked it. And over 150 of you, or, and here's the funniest part, have bookmarked it. Meaning you want to save this one in your back pocket for later, as I mentioned earlier in the show. So again, it's not to brag. It's to say that, listen, I'm here to talk to y'all about this team that you clearly, passionately care about and want this damn offense to get fixed. You don't get that type of engagement if you don't care. So that shows me that you care, and I am here to talk to you. 404-726-0929. Let's kick it off with Eddie. Eddie, you're in the game. What do you think? Are you now worried about the growth of Michael Penix Jr. because of the way this offense is being used right now? All right, 404-726-0929. Let's go to Theo. Theo's up next. 404-726-0929. Let's go to Theo. Theo, you're up next.
Hey, how you doing, Turtle?
What's up, Theo?
Hey, so Monday I was listening to Dukes and Bell, and they mentioned, which I've noticed in the game, Michael Penix is sitting by himself on the bench. And then so Monday Night Football came around, I'm paying attention, and like after a series, you know, they'll sit down with the offensive coordinator and the quarterback's coach and the running back's coach and the quarterback sitting around all of his wide receivers like on tablets. They had got these tablets out, and I went back and watched the Falcons tape, and nobody has tablets. So me and my buddies, we got like five tablets, and I got them in a box. I need to go to FedEx tomorrow and Do I need to ship them out to Flowery Branch?
Or, let me tell you what. I think you may be in luck there, Theo, and I appreciate the phone call at 404-726-0929. Because maybe maybe that's part of why they're moving Zach Robinson down to the field, because they want to get Penix more involved in things exactly like what you just described. So I appreciate the phone call. Thanks for checking in. I know that was tongue in cheek, but I think you actually have a good point, because that's what Zach Robinson moving down could potentially bring more of. He's talking about, and he's right. If you watch quarterbacks around the league, you do see them after series go sit on the bench with their OC and go over what just happened. And if they're not doing that in Atlanta, they should. And maybe Zach Robinson being down on the ground will help that. Barry's up next. Barry, go ahead.
Yes, I have one quick question for you. I have been in the same mindset since about mid-season last year, or even before. Are you comfortable that this OC, are you comfortable with his ability to call plays and scheme for the offense? And I'll hang up and listen, because I'm not. His play calling seemed tremendously elementary to me.
Well, Barry, it's funny you bring that up, and I thank you for the phone call. That's literally exactly what the Dan Orlovsky and Abe, our buddy from the Midday Show, hit me up earlier and said, hey, we had Mark Schlereth on talking about the pistol as well, and everyone's saying the same thing. It's vanilla. Barry, to your point, it's uncreative, and it's limiting the offense right now. It's making it way too predictable. So to answer your question, right now, do I trust Zach Robinson? No, I don't. He needs to prove it. He keeps saying all the right – like, again, it's one thing – Oren, my mom used to tell me this all the time because I was a little brat as a kid. You can say all the right things, but it's what you do that matters most. I was really good at saying I'm sorry for kicking over the lamp. But I got to stop kicking over the lamp. That's the real problem. Zach Robinson can say in these press conferences everything that he wants, but if you don't do it on the field, then it doesn't mean anything. Now, Eddie's called back. Eddie, what's up?
Hey, how you doing, Chris, man? Listen, I heard a caller earlier say that Jaden Daniels did well in his first year, and Patrick Mahomes did well his first year. But you have to look at the situation. Michael Penix does not have a Cliff Kingsbury calling the plays or an Andy Reid calling the plays. He has a first-year play caller calling plays. Michael Penix is going to be fine, right? Michael Penix will put the team on his back. We've seen him do that in the Tampa Bay game. It's Zach Robinson, man. I mean, and I know this is the same point everyone's echoing, but Zach Robinson will make or break this team. And real quick, a hot take. This weekend, we might be playing our next head coach in Cliff Kingsbury. All right. Thanks, man.
Yeah, appreciate it. Well, we'll see. We'll see what happens there. I'm not sure. But listen, in terms of the offense, you're right. And that's why I'm worried. That's exactly the point, Eddie, is why I'm worried. Because if Zach Robinson continues to limit and stunt the growth of Michael Penix Jr., where are we at? Because you're right. We don't Michael Penix Jr. does not have enough NFL experience. You use the term put the team on his back to do that consistently. He just doesn't. He's not prime Tom Brady. He's not Baker Mayfield right now who can do that and has done it three consecutive weeks in a row. So you need to get this thing right, and hopefully Zach Robinson can learn from these mistakes and grow and help Michael Penix grow. But if he can't, we're in trouble, y'all. Ken's up next. Ken, what do you think?
Hey, what's going on? Good evening. I don't think this franchise, I don't believe that serious. Of all the people that need to be fired, you fired the wide receivers coach. That's your fix-all. I honestly believe Raheem does not want to get anybody who can make him look bad, or they can say, hey, something go wrong. Hey, we want to put you in as the head coach. You getting these coordinators that you know looking for a shot. You're not getting up. You didn't get anybody who's established who can sit there and cultivate this young man and make a play. I mean, our players are as basic as anything. And I'm really starting to question how serious they are about winning, because if you had started this season off like this, at this point, and you know how much riding on this, somebody more important than a wide receivers coach would have been fired. That's just my take on it.
Yeah, appreciate it, Ken. Thanks for checking in. Arthur Blank just doesn't do that, man. The Dan Quinn thing was an anomaly, and that was after he took the team to a Super Bowl. So I don't think in his second season they're going to fire Ra in the middle of the year. I think they're going to at least – I mean, listen, anything could happen if they start off 1-8, Oren. I mean, I don't think they're going to be banging down the drum to keep Raheem Morris here, but we'll see. But to Ken's point, listen, these guys want to win, Ken. We know that. But in order to put the team in the best position, you need to make good hires, to your point. Zach Robinson is a guy that worked with him in L.A., and they know each other very well, and he felt like he was ready. Maybe he was wrong. 404-726-0929. Pastor T is up next. Go ahead.
What's going on, Turtle? I'm just going to pretty much repeat everything I've been listening to now. I just got on here and listened to you. But it's definitely an O.C. I mean, Penix hadn't lost the ability to play football. He's been successful at every level. But confidence is a funny thing. It can really get in our heads and mess with our talent to some degree. But, you know, I watched a show on, I think it's NFL.com, and they were saying, I may be having this backwards, but they were saying that when Falcons are in shotgun, they run the ball like almost 90% of the time. Yeah. And when they're in pistol, they throw the ball. Whatever the stat was, I can't remember.
Right.
But look, if these guys got it, you think these professional football teams and defensive coordinators ain't figured that out? I mean, they're taking away the gaps for Bijan, and he's our. I mean, we got too much talent. It's an OC problem. I'll hang up and listen to you, Turtle.
Appreciate you, Pastor T. Thanks for checking in. No, you're right. And again, to reference Mark Schlereth on our air and Dan Orlovsky, that's exactly what these guys are saying. It's predictable. It's vanilla. And the defenses have no problem sniffing out what's coming next. A couple more before we get out of here. Tim is up next. Tim.
Okay. Good afternoon, evening. They've already paid the man, Kirk Cousins. They need stability. They need experience. Get rid of the offensive coordinator. Hell, you can even let Kirk Cousins call his own plays. I mean, if the man's healthy, you need to go with him if you want to win now. If you're interested in developing a quarterback, it's just crazy to me. Everybody always says, all right, they've held all this money to win,
Tim,
hang on.
Do me a favor. We're going to hang up, and I'm going to want you to listen, Tim. Listen to this on your radio right now. Matt Ryan, on his podcast with our buddy Zach Klein from WSB, Todd France, and Aaron Donald. That's such an interesting mix to be on a podcast. But anyway, they got to talking about the Falcons, and Matt Ryan was asked by the crew, would you consider going back to Kirk? So, Tim, this is your answer to that question.
Why can't Cousins compete, and why'd you fire a wide receiver coach? Matt, tell me more.
What kind of competition do you think is going to happen at practice this week at the quarterback position? Like, he had his opportunity. He played last year and showcased, you know, what he did, and he had his chance. Yeah. And they felt like that was a different thing. When you're playing games, here's the bottom line. When you're playing games with your quarterback position after you've drafted somebody top 10 overall, you got a great chance of screwing this up six starts into it when you start playing games like that. All right, so you're making decisions about what you want the organization to be like moving forward. You don't overreact to one horrible loss.
Exactly.
And it was horrible.
Unless you're in the media.
To one horrible loss.
No, so what happens?
It's about continuity. It's about growing this guy as you're moving forward. It's been six starts.
Guys, that's Matt Ryan. What do you want me to... I have nothing to add to that. If you don't want to listen to me, that was a minute straight, and somebody needs to tell Aaron Donald to shut his mic off when he's not talking, because he was opening up a bottle of Gatorade and drinking it while Matt Ryan was speaking. That's what that sound was. But it was still too good not to play. If you don't want to listen to me, and that's fine, who am I? I'm just a dummy talk show host. You listen to Matt Ryan. That was his take from the best player to ever put on a Falcons uniform. So if you don't want to listen to me, How about you listen to Matt? Ramil's up next. Ramil, finish us off.
What's going on, boss? Yeah. I think Raheem, I think he made a mistake by hiring defense coordinator Jim Lake from last year and the offensive coordinator that he got right now, Robinson. I mean, it's cool to give him a chance and whatnot. And I guess the offensive coordinator made more sense with Kurt because he's a veteran, so he can – the offensive coordinator can learn on the job with a veteran quarterback, but you got a veteran offensive coordinator – and basically a rookie quarterback both learning on the job at the same time. That's just a recipe for disaster. So I think it's just going to be another wasted season, but that's typically an Atlanta thing. Like, we got all the horses on offense that have a good offense, but we just don't have an offense coordinator to go with.
Well, Ramil, unfortunately, more often than not, your assessment has been right. 7 years, no playoffs. And this is a critical game in preventing that from happening again. We'll take more of your calls when we get back. Plus, you'll hear from Mike Hughes. CB2 was on with Dukes and Bell today. What did he have to say about the loss and how the team rebounds? But we'll take more of your calls as well. If you didn't get in, 404-726-0929 is the number. It's Chris Thomas tonight. Back with you here on 92.9 The Game. Chris Thomas Turtle with you until 10 o'clock. We're taking your calls on the Falcons at 404-726-0929. Interesting debate going on about the growth or potential stunted growth of Michael Penix Jr. because of everything that's going on with the offense right now and Zach Robinson and Raheem Morris trying to get together and figure it out. We're also going to hear from cornerback two, Mike Hughes, but back to the phones before that. Let's go to Meat. Meat, you're in the game. Go ahead.
What's up, Turtle?
What up, man?
What's up? First, I just want to say, I am from the city of Atlanta. I'm an Atlanta native. I am an advocate for Terry Fontenot, and I'm an advocate for Raheem. I love Arthur Blank. I love Matt Ryan. But I'm just starting to see that Raheem is in over his head. I don't think he's a head coach. I can go back to the Pittsburgh game, the Seattle game, and the Broncos game from last year. And along with the Carolina game this year, it looked like he just completely out-coached. The team didn't look prepared. Michael Penix didn't look prepared. Nobody looked prepared. It just didn't look like they were up for the game. And he went toe-to-toe with Kansas City, went toe-to-toe with the Redskins last year. But some of those games, I just seen this guy get completely out-coached.
No, Meat, listen, I appreciate the phone call. Thanks for checking in. You're not wrong. You are not wrong. And that's part of the issue is the lack. What was the word that we used all last week, Meat, right? It was consistency. The lack of consistency from the offense is what has plagued this team for the longest time. So, Meat, you're 100% right. You're spot on in your analysis because I agree with you. And it's not just because I agree with you. It's because them's the facts, Jack. This offense has not been consistent at all. When Kirk Cousins was healthy last year, it started off slow, then it started to roll. We don't know what it would have looked like if Kirk stayed healthy. Hopefully it would have stayed on track, but we have no idea. And then the three-game sample size with Penix, and then this year. It's been wildly, wildly, wildly inconsistent. 404-726-0929. Jose is up next. Jose, go ahead.
Hey, Turtle. So remember last week people weren't really worried about Carolina. I don't know if it was like an underpreparing from the players, the staff, but I mean, honestly, if this is a sample size of what's going to happen when they punch you in the mouth in the first quarter and you don't really know what to do and how to react, like goes back to the last caller, are the coaches prepared? Are you prepared to take a sucker punch and then kind of, you know, work around it or not? Like I definitely think it starts from the top. I mean, he seems like a cool guy, the head coach, Raheem Morris, but, I mean, is he really over his head? You know, that's where it goes. And ultimately, you're responsible for everybody under you.
Well, Jose, it's a great call, and you hit the nail on the head because that's exactly what we're talking about, right? Is do these teams and these coaches adjust? And that's the word. There's a lot of key words we're throwing around tonight. Consistency, adjustments. Do the Falcons adjust? And to Jose's point, Oren, you know what the answer is right now? A resounding no. No. They do not adjust at all to what happened. And you're right, Jose. They got punched in the face right out of the gate in the first quarter. That was like, what? Okay, I guess we're in another dogfight, aren't we? And the answer to that was also, no, you just got ran over for 60 minutes. And that's unfortunately where this team is right now. It's a great call by Jose and a great call by me. You do not adjust and you are not consistent. Those are two of the biggest problems for the Atlanta Falcons right now. George is up next. George.
Hey, Turtle. Great show, man. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hey, listen, okay, now I'm gonna make a statement here. I've coached for a couple decades, and I coached a middle school team. So when I hear the problems that Phoenix is having relative to operations and the plays, it obviously is too much because of the following. Dude, we have sixth grade. Now, granted, they are good, but we call in the play. They never huddle. We signal in the play, which includes the formation, the routes for the receivers, the blocking assignment for the line. All of that is done, and we have, get this, not ever had one single this year delay of game. So my point is, again, I'm not going against, you know, the Tampa 2 or anything like that, but at the same time, what about if communication is such an issue, what about doing what they did 3 or 4 or 5 years ago, signal in some of the plays, risk coach it, whatever it takes. He should know enough of it. If you risk coach it in, just for example, a play is a number, and he looks down at his risk coach, he sees that number, he calls that play. And great, I'm oversimplifying it, but at the same time, I'm not buying that piece of it. If, in fact, that is the case, and that's the problem, it gets him so rattled, the plays are too wordy, and they're too complex for him.
Well, George, I'll tell that's you this. Yeah, no, I appreciate it. It's a great point because, George, there is no oversimplification right now. Everything's on the table. Dumb it down as much as you need to. I don't care. Just get it done. Whether you're right, whether you do it the college way, you call out a color or a letter or a number, and that signals a play that Michael Penix Jr. knows in the back of his head what it means, I'm fine with that. Just get it done. We need to get to a point where he can start throwing the ball down the field. Guys, I repeated this stat earlier. For the later audience, I'm going to repeat it again. The Atlanta Falcons have a 4% deep ball rate with Michael Penix Jr. as your quarterback. How in the world is that even a remote possibility? I don't understand. Again, 4% deep ball rate with Michael Penix Jr. as your quarterback. I always use this example when I'm talking about the opposite of Michael Penix Jr. I grew up, as you know, a New York Jets fan. The guy who was the quarterback for my formative years was Chad Pennington. You don't have Chad Pennington out there who couldn't throw the ball 25 yards down the field. You have Michael Penix who could throw it 70 yards down the field. Use it, please. Doc is up next. Doc, go ahead.
Okay, for my call. You know, the problem is you cannot have a head coach learning on the job, bringing a rookie defensive coordinator who's learning on the job, bringing a rookie offensive coordinator who's learning on the job. That's ridiculous. Let me sum up Raheem in one play, one series. Late in the first quarter, the Carolina Panthers punted from about their 50-yard line, and the ball went into the end zone. Great. Touchback, you get the ball at the 20. They didn't pin you inside the 10. What did Raheem do? He accepted the illegal procedure penalty, had them punt again, and down the ball in the 10-yard line. The guy is not a head coach. That sums up everything you need to know. They had the ball in the 20. He accepted the penalty and then got the ball back on the 10. What else do we need to know?
No, listen, I understand. And there are, unfortunately, to your point, thank you for the phone call, a myriad of examples just like that. How about the fact that two games in a row they had to burn a timeout again coming out of a commercial break? Your point stands, and it's well taken and it's well received. And your owner came out this offseason and said we need to be better in those areas. And you haven't been. Special teams has been a disaster too. And you're right, 100%. Doc, good call. 404-726-0929. David's up next. David.
Hey, G, what up? Just a quick observation from someone who's not a huge football. I mean, I love football. I love Georgia Bulldogs. But I see something, right? 30,000-foot view. You look for consensus. So understanding this, I hear all of the talking heads and all of the players and coaches who had interviews today, right? They talked with everybody, and they got rid of one of the coaches, you know, the wide receivers coach. They're going to make this change. One person said, "Well, this is the problem." One person. Here's just an outside view of the Atlanta Falcons and the way it seems to me from a 30,000 foot perspective. There is no consensus on the team where they speak one language, where everybody is concisely focused like a laser on a simple principle of doing the same thing. It's like everybody feels as though there's a different problem. That's a bigger concern than whether or not we have the right head coach, which I kind of am leaning against, whether or not we have the correct
Yeah, I appreciate the phone call, man. You just broke up and dropped off there. But listen, I understand what you're saying. It goes back to exactly what the messaging has been. Identity, consistency, adjustments, those are all in the same boat, in the same category, right? Those are all on the same playing field in terms of what defines a successful football team, specifically on offense, as we're talking about tonight. So you're 100% right. As most of the callers have been, y'all are making great points tonight at 404-726-0929. If you don't have an identity, you can't make adjustments, you're not consistent. These are all things right now, specifically for the offense. Defense has been all right, specifically for the offense. Well, that's not – defense was spectacular against Minnesota. They've been decent the other 2 weeks. But if you don't have those things, like our caller was talking about, identity – communication, consistency, ability to adjust, you're not going to be a good football team. Let's take Mark up next. Mark, go ahead.
Guys, how are you?
What's up?
A couple things. You know, you watch the Philadelphia Eagles play football. Everybody's on the same page. Everybody knows what to do. Sariano does it. Hurts does it. Everybody knows their job. Just like the Belichick teams. The Falcons, Arthur will not be successful because he will not allow somebody to come in and run it the way they want to run it. And that's why Belichick didn't come. He was going to get rid of people. He's going to get rid of Fontenot. He's going to get rid of Rich McKay. Those are all his boys. He's very successful as an owner. He gets a lot of people in the building. That's important to him. He's not tough enough to win. That's the bottom line.
No, Mark, listen, I appreciate the phone call. I just, Oren, it's the same refrain every time somebody talks about ownership, right? It's not ownership. Yes, maybe Arthur Blank needs to do a better job of delegating who he trusts to make those responsible decisions. I just won't entertain it because it's not true. He's not the reason that Penix and the offense is dysfunctional right now. It's just not the case. But I appreciate the phone call nonetheless. Joe's up next. Joe, go ahead.
Hey, good evening. Love your show.
Thank you.
I think most of the callers ahead of me pretty much hit the nail on the head. We have an inexperienced coaching staff coaching an inexperienced quarterback. It's the blind leading the blind is really what it is. And so, you know, the chips are falling where they are. It's obvious. But one of the things I want to make, nobody really hit on, and this is just my perspective on it. They seem to be making a lot of excuses. You know, one week it's the kicker's fault. Next week it's the quarterback's coach. If you're having communication issues with the headset, they were talking about that. Wouldn't the obvious thing be to come down to the field if you're experiencing that and then just try to relay the plays from the sideline? Why announce that at the end of the game when you put up a goose egg? Right? They're just making excuses. They always make excuses. It's like they think that their fans are too stupid to realize that they're, you know, not good enough to be in the position that they're in.
No, Joe, so, listen, and so. I hear you, and I listen. I've heard a lot of criticism. I don't necessarily agree fully. I think there's some merit to it that Raheem Morris, at times, specifically when things aren't going well, can turn into press conference mode where the word salesman I've heard used a lot. I think he's passionate. I think he's emotional. I think he cares a lot. But if you turn into a salesman and you're trying to sell me something that isn't there, to Joe's point, it can come off the wrong way. And I think that's what a lot of Falcons fans who have hit me up at 404-726-0929 and on Twitter at C Thomas Radio have realized with Ra. But when things aren't going well, you have to be able to manage expectations and manage the team. And right now, I don't think the Falcons have done the best job of that, if I'm just being honest. All right, Jason, Gary, Tim, DeAndre, hang tight. You guys are up first when we get back. Got a line open. Grab it, 404-726-0929. Hey, man, y'all want to talk about this? I scrap my rundown. I don't care. I'm here to talk to you, 404-726-0929. We're talking Falcons, baby, on a Wednesday on 92.9 The Game. So here's the deal. I'm fired up. You're fired up. So let's talk. 404-726-0929. We've been rolling this entire hour on the phones, and we're going to continue to do so. 404-726-0929 is the number. 404-726-0929 is the number to get involved. We have a busy 9 o'clock hour coming up as well. We'll take more of your calls. We'll chat. We haven't talked any college football today. We'll do that with Joe DeLeon. And we'll talk more Falcons as well. Jason starts us off this segment on the phones. Jason, welcome in. What do you think?
Hey, Turtle. Hey, great show, by the way.
Thank you.
First thing you got to ask yourself, is Michael Penix capable? I think he's more than capable. I don't think it's a capability issue. Second thing is it takes him too long to get the plays in. If you notice, the play clock always run down before they snap, like to 1 second. One call is a delay of the game. Could have been a couple of delay of the games in the Minnesota game as well. And the other thing nobody's talked about and everybody's kind of shying away from, if we only picked to win 7 games by Vegas, we'll have to win at least 11 now because we lost 2 divisional games at the beginning to go to a playoff. How many games on that schedule are we really going to win if we play like we played Sunday?
Not a lot. And I appreciate the phone call and the kind words. Thanks for checking in. That's the problem. Me, the dope I am, or and I said at the beginning of the season, 11 games. This roster, Penix, year two, year one, one and a half, whatever you want to call it, Bijan, hopefully Pitts can contribute. All these young studs on defense, Jesse Bates, Caden Ellis, best in the biz at what they do. 11 wins, easy division win, and we get our first playoff appearance in 7 seasons. Yeah. How's that looking right now? I would say not swell. Not swell would be how I would say that. But anything is possible. Got to believe. Take it one game at a time, whatever cliche you want to use. Gary's up next. Gary.
Great. Great words spoken. And thanks for having me on. I'm enjoying the show.
Thank you.
But I got to say this. The Falcons have the personnel. They got the right players. They got all the engines they need. But you got to have the right person in charge. The coach is learning. He knows the system, but he's sticking to this new strategy. We need to stick to the old strategy. We need two backs in the backfield. We need one to confuse the defense. Because right now, as you look at the Falcons, the pistols ain't working. And I agree with that. And I tell you, if you got 3 people in the backfield and you can't run 1 yard, something is wrong when you got the running backs that we have. Not only that, we got a line that's not blocking. I don't see nobody on the ground. I see our players on the ground on offense. You can't block on the ground.
Well,
Gary, we need players that's going to step up and do their job, and these players are getting paid to do this.
Gary, you're 100% right. I told you, Gary, if you were listening earlier in the show, thanks for the phone call. Orin and I were watching that play during the commercial breaks where Derrick Brown is able to keep outside contain on Chris Lindstrom, move laterally down the line all the way to the point of attack, and then right as he's approaching Bijan Robinson, take Chris Lindstrom, Gary, to your point, who's the best in the business at what he does, and literally throws him to the ground and then makes the tackle. I mean, what can you say? I mean, what do you do? I mean, Gary's 100% right. Derrick Brown takes our best offensive lineman and literally throws him to the ground like he's a rag doll. It was unbelievable to watch the team get out physical. 404-726-0929. Tim is up next. Tim, go ahead.
Hey, what's up, Turtle? Oren, thanks for taking my call. I want to say that on the airways, State Shapiro had a really good take on this about letting an old ex-girlfriend, boyfriend back in the house. And he was wearing a Georgia Bulldog shirt when he said that on his little podcast there. And I'll say, go Dawgs. Can't wait to beat Bama this weekend. And in the South, we know football. We know football, and everybody's call that is called in tonight, they're right, they're touching on topics, and they sound they everybody's football acumen in the South is amazing. And Raheem is – he's on the hot seat, and he does not act like he's the 12th man on the field. He's not the person rah-rah that we want out of Coach Ra. So I think that pushing off the organization and saying, I don't believe it's the organizational fault, I want to push back on that for a second because – we did push back on Rich McKay. He's now over Atlanta United, and that's a dumpster. The Atlanta Falcons people, or Atlanta Falcons fans, we're looking for a return on investment, and we're just not getting it. So we're letting that old boyfriend and girlfriend back in the house, and they're just tearing it up again. And Raheem and Ulbrich have been here before. Rich McKay has been here before. He's now over there. So this team is like a hat card shuffle.
But,
like,
Tim, let me ask you a question. What is ownership doing that directly results in this happening? Listen, Raheem Morris.
Let me ask you one more question. Yeah. Let me defer, and I didn't get there. Yeah. Atlanta United fans don't pay a PSL. We pay a PSL. And that's one of the things that most of the people that I talk about are getting infuriated with, is we have a losing record inside of the bins. We have a head coach that has a losing record, and he is not invigorating the team on the sideline. He never chews anybody's ass. He never gets after a ref, after a player. He never coaches that buddy up, and he's not the 12th man. So if he's just sitting there watching the game like the rest of us, he can pay a PSL and come join me in my seat.
No,
and hang out with me and watch the game.
No, Tim, I get it.
And that's my thing.
No, I get it, man. I get it, and I appreciate the phone call, and that's a good line. But at the end of the day, if you want to say ownership is to blame, you have to give tangible results, right? Like, yes, I get Atlanta United, Rich McKay, the whole thing, but that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about the Falcons, right? We're talking about what the Falcons need to do to get back on track. And to me, Arthur Blank is not Jerry Jones. Like, that's what y'all need to – and, Tim, I appreciate your passion and love that you go to all the games and love that you listen to the radio station as much as you do. But the passion needs to be focused in the right areas, right? Arthur Blank is not sending messages from above like Jerry Jones, like what happens in Las Vegas with the Raiders. That he's not that type of owner. He's an owner that has a circle of trust. He trusts his people, and they're the ones that help him make the necessary decisions. But Arthur Blank does not fancy him a general manager of a football team. Like, that's what we need to understand as fans. And I think when we can make that separation, you can take away some of the fervor and the blame that Tim was placing on the front office and specifically the ownership group. The ownership group is not going to Terry Fontenot and saying, you better tell Raheem Morris that we say that, if Tyler Allgeier goes one more game with one carry, we're going to revolt. That's not the type of way this organization is run. Arthur Blank makes the decision, as he should as an owner, with, you know, making sure that the right people higher up are in place, and then they allow the people that they hire to make the football decisions. It's Jerry Jones, it's Mark Davis, it's all these other people, that Woody Johnson, that meddle in the day-to-day operations, that set a bad example for the rest of the league. That's just not what Arthur Blank does. Let's go to DeAndre. You're up next. Go ahead.
And how you doing, Turtle?
What up, man?
I called in the other week when we had the situation where we beat Minnesota and everybody was saying but. And that was the problem then. The problem now, I feel like we're kind of overreacting. Let's just settle down here. We literally beat Minnesota running the ball 38 times. We ran the ball, 14 times? You don't win running the ball 14 times when you have Bijan and Tyler Allgeier. People can say the game got out of hand. It was 10-0. that was still you were still able to run the ball. Everybody complained about the pistol. The pistol just was looking good last year. When nobody complained about the pistol then, it's like everybody's starting to overreact. Let Pennis, he had a bad game. Hopefully he has more good games than bad games, and we still make it to the playoffs. But at the end of the day, these players, some of these players don't take this stuff as serious as they need to. They're kind of soft. I don't see no helmets being thrown. I don't see no reaction from the players on the sideline. We don't have to – you know, when the Kobe Dean chewed the player out in that SEC championship game or the national championship game when he missed his assignment, we don't have that kind of leadership on our team. So we're lacking identity. It's time for – if you're the Jesse Bates or the supposed-to-be leader of our team, it's time for you to step up and start getting on people and make it look good for us to understand that you actually care that we're losing.
Well, DeAndre.
But that's all I have to say.
No, I appreciate it, man. And hopefully a loss like that, DeAndre, to your point, makes them do exactly that. Have some accountability. I would have loved Oren to have been a fly on the wall for practice today. I would have loved to see what that was like. We'll find out a little bit later in the week when D. Orlando Ledbetter joins us. That's going to be a fun conversation. Oh, my goodness. I'm so excited. He's going to come on here and Turtle, you know what? These Falcons, they're just bad, man. I'm excited to chat with D-Led tomorrow. When we get back, let's talk a little college football because, you know, Georgia's kind of got a big game this weekend. We'll do that. And then we'll take more of your calls later in the hour as well. 404-726-0929. Appreciate everybody checking in. This has been one heck of a show tonight here on 92.9 The Game. I am just your steward. I am here to talk Falcons and let you talk to me about the state of this team right now. We'll do more of that in the 9 o'clock hour. Coming up next.